Green light means go. last week, I don't know if you all saw it or not, but there's Franklin Graham has issued a call to prayer for our president and our country because of all the attacks that are coming against not only him but our nation. We are being attacked on every side, it seems like, and the values that we hold dear are seems like every one of them is just coming under extreme attack. So Franklin Graham has asked that pastors and churches all over the United States would lift up our president and our nation, our Vice President Mike Pence. Many of us know well. He was one of us. He's from Indiana. And that God would take what we see going on, this chaos and this disorder, and then he would bring back unity and order, that we would have our eyes focused on what's really important. So can we do that this morning, along with all the other churches that are doing this today? Can we lift up our president and our nation? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. And Lord, we humbly declare that we are one nation under God. Scriptures tell us that you are the one who put people in positions of authority for your good purpose. And you have placed our President Donald J. Trump as the President of the United States. Lord, we know that he's not a perfect man, but we know that you have caused or allowed him to be where he's at. We have never seen attacks come the way they've come against him and his family and his associates. Lord, where it has stifled any legislative action, and there's nothing but chaos and disunity. And Father, that's not what you want from you or from our country or your people. So Lord, we just ask that you would be with him. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall on him, that you would empower him with supernatural wisdom and discernment, Father, as he moves to forward his legislative agenda, that it would be pleasing to you, and Father, that he would submit his life to you in the decisions that he makes. And Father, for Mike Pence, the same thing, Lord. I just pray for our nation that there could be healing. Where there's division, that there could be unity. Where there's strife, that there could be peace. And Father, where there's death, there could be life. Lord, we ask that once again America would bless your name, that we truly would become one nation under God. We proclaim these things along with all the other churches and pastors this morning, and we remember as we leave this place to lift up those in leadership, those in our nation's legislature, Lord, that this might come to pass. Because you said, Lord, where two or more are gathered in your name, whatever we ask for can be imagined. So, Father, I just ask that you be glorified by our president, by our vice president, by our Congress, and by each and every one of us that calls ourselves American. Father, I pray that people would know that this is a nation that fears the Lord, that we stand with Israel and God's people wherever they may be found. We ask, Father, that you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I tell you what, it's kind of hard to follow Nathaniel. You know that? But here I am. So, I tell you, we were sitting back there last week as he was teaching, and Steph Michelle just leaned over to me and she said, "How did our son get so wise?" I leaned over and whispered in her ear, "Jesus." Because it wasn't from us. It had to be from God. But we are so pleased and blessed to have Nathaniel teaching again, and it blesses our hearts every time we get to hear him, and he does a good job. Today we're starting on the second chapter of Acts. That's the area of responsibility that I've been given to teach, and it's a very exciting time in the early New Testament church. We have just, as Nathaniel spoke, you know, he was speaking about they were choosing the replacement for Judas, and you know, and it talked about a little bit about Jesus' ascension and what he was telling them, and it's going to kind of play in with what we're going to be speaking about today. So I'm going to refer back to that every once in a while. But as we read the word, can we all stand as we read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13? And if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to it. And it says, when the day of Pentecost, well, I better let you all get there first. Everybody there say amen? All righty. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw that what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, and as we study the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, we see how you gave birth to your new church, the New Testament church, and the new believers. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit, as we learn about it today, would fall on us, and that we would live and move and act just like these early believers did, with the power that comes from your Spirit. So, Lord, I ask that you would bless all these here today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we see that the day of Pentecost, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, what does Pentecost mean? Pentecost basically means 50 days. And as we know from Exodus, that the Lord had required that his people would have three festivals in his honor. We know that we had the festival of the unleavened bread, Passover, and it's where Jesus was at, and they observed the Passover meal and the Last Supper, and he was arrested, crucified, buried, died and buried, and then he rose again. Well, Pentecost is 7 weeks after the Feast of the Unleavened Bread in one day. So 50 means 50, right? And then it comes to the time where they have another feast, and it's called the Feast of the Harvest, the Feast of the of Weeks. I think in Hebrew, Ken, you can help me out here. It's called Shavuot. 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 So, you know, so there are many people now. Pentecost has come, and it's probably in God's timing that this occurred when it did, because there were many, many people in Jerusalem at that time to observe this feast of the new harvest, is what it was called, because people, God had commanded them to bring in the harvest of the new grain that they had collected, and to make loaves of bread and to present them to the Lord. So there were a lot of people from all over the world that were there, the known world at that time. So I believe that was God's timing. He knew that it was going to have the most effect, and it was going to do the most good to allow the Holy Spirit to come at this particular time. And we see that the disciples are all in one place. And some of these translations say that they were in one accord and in one place, meaning they were all together in heart and mind. You'll see that spoken through Acts on numerous occasions. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Acts 4:32 says that they claimed that none of their possessions was their own, but they gave to whoever had a need. I think we saw that in Acts 1:8 when Jesus had them all together, and he says this to them in 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We saw that in the teaching that Nathaniel had brought last week. So we see that, and they're all in one place, and they're expecting this Holy Spirit that Jesus is promising. And they're all there, and they're all praying. And it comes at the third hour, I believe the word says, when this sound like a rushing wind, verse 2, it says that suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Where did it come from? Come from heaven. It was not man-made or earth-made. It was from heaven. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. You know, and we see that wind. And there again, Brother Ken, Doug, you might help me out on this. Hebrew, wind. What else does it translate to? Breath, spirit. So the breath and the wind, the spirit is coming on these disciples in this room. God breathed life into us. He's using this wind to get people's attention. It's coming. It's in the early morning. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and typically about 9 o'clock in the morning, most days it's pretty calm, right? All of a sudden there's this loud sound like a rushing wind coming. And I believe that maybe Jesus gave a little hint about what was coming when he was talking to Nicodemus. Remember that conversation? Nicodemus came to Jesus tonight, and Jesus was talking to him. And he says, I think it's John chapter 5 here. And he says, "Jesus answered, verily I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit." So we see this, or we see that God is affecting their senses. He's allowing them to hear this rushing wind sound. As the Spirit's breathing life, the Holy Spirit's bringing power into these disciples. But that's not the only thing that's happening, is it? And it also says that he's bringing fire. So they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, and that separated and came to rest on each of them. You know, the tongues of fire represent speech. What did Jesus just say in Acts 1:8? That you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. How does that message get out unless we speak it? Each and every one of us has a story to tell about what God's done for us. And when these guys have these tongues of fire coming on them, those tongues represent speech. They're witness. And that fire, that fire of the Holy Spirit comes on us, and it moves us to do something. I remember when I was first saved, 1975, Little Assembly of God Church, Jeff. And I remember, 14 years old, I didn't know that I had so much to be forgiven for, but I said, asked God to forgive me of my sins, and I felt like a weight had lifted off of me. And I remember walking home from the assembly up to Southeast 11th, where our home place was, and I was just amazed at what God, I felt like a new being. I felt like a weight had been lifted off of me. And I went to sleep that night excited, and I woke up the next morning, and it was 1.25 miles to school, and it was uphill both ways. And as I was walking to school, I was reflecting on what God had did for me that last night. And I tell you what, I was so excited. I had to tell somebody. So you know what I did? I stopped at one of the doors down on Southeast 11th, and I knocked on the door, and a little old lady came to the door with a cup of coffee and a house robe. And I had a little tract that they'd give me, and I pushed it in her hand, and I said, I want you to know God saved me last night, and he can do the same for you. He is a good father. And she looked at me and grinned. She said, I've been a Christian for many years, but you just blessed my heart. But I had to tell somebody. And you think that God's design for this happening wasn't for the people to get a fire in their belly, and that breath of spirit that came into them was for them to be able to catch on fire and be alive? When God breathed life into you, was it a mighty rushing wind, or was it just like an exhale from his sigh? I believe that he gave you power when he breathed into you. And wherever you're at in your life, you can influence somebody for Jesus Christ. And where are we supposed to start at? Where did Jesus tell those disciples that they would be his witnesses at first? Right there in Jerusalem. Well, you can be his witnesses right here in Washington, Indiana. And a little bit after a while, you're going to have an opportunity to do just that as we go and we canvass this neighborhood. And we hang those little door tab thing, hook things on the doors for the kids to come for the VBS. And I know how God can use children to reach the parents. Because he used me to reach my mother. And he used my children to reach me. And he'll use these kids to reach parents as well. I believe it with all my heart because I've seen it happen. God can do it and he will. But this fire, it represents more than just a burning passion in us. But we know what happened on the road to Emmaus. Remember, we were just in Luke, when we were studying Luke, and those two disciples were walking to the road to Emmaus when Jesus suddenly appears to them, and he's asking them about what's happened. Have you not been paying any attention? You've been here in Jerusalem and seen and heard about all the things that have been happening to this man named Jesus? And Jesus was talking to him, and as they were talking to him, Jesus was talking to them back, telling them how scriptures were fulfilled with everything that was going on with Jesus and how he had to suffer and die. And when they went to this little inn and Jesus was there and those two disciples were with him, and Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, and immediately they recognized who he was, and Jesus was taken up from them. But then they said this, didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures up to us? Do you not sit in our services sometimes or listen to the radio when somebody's preaching and the scriptures just come alive, and man, it just makes you, oh, I love it. Amen? Am I the only one that feels that way? Whew. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because he makes life exciting. You know, it used to be that the Army say, Army, it's not just a job, it's an adventure. I want to tell you something. Follow Christ and let the Holy Spirit work in you and see what he won't do for you and the adventures he won't lead you down. Because every day, there's defined appointments for each and every one of us somewhere where we can show the love of Christ. And maybe we can even use words that somebody might know about how good God is and the love that he has for those folks. Every day, God puts people in my life, and I just want them to know Jesus. I don't care if they know me. I want them to know Jesus Christ. How about you? Amen. I get all fired up and I lose my place. Well, we also see a kind of a change here taking place too. You know, in the Old Testament, God appeared to Moses as fire in that burning bush. Amen? We see that happening. He came to Mount Sinai, and that's where God gave Moses the Old Testament law. He met one man in one place. But now we see this as the birth of this new church. We see the Holy Spirit coming in tongues of fire. And it's coming from heaven. It's not coming from a mountain. It's coming to each and every person who would believe. That fire is not just for a select few. It's for everyone who would believe. God is changing things up. He changed things up when Jesus came. You know, used to be our overseer, Dale Stahl. He had a ministry called Radical Restoration. And that he talked about the word radical, and it means to get back to the root, get back to the beginning, to what formed the things. And I believe that radical restoration is taking place here in this room on this Pentecost, and this new church is being born. God is restoring his people, his church. He had an old covenant. Now Jesus has brought forth this new covenant with his people. And it's not just for the Jews, but it's for anyone who believes. Anyone who believes. So we see that God's presence is available to all, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit. And as they began to have those tongues of fire come on them, and they're being filled with the Holy Spirit, God enables them to speak in other tongues, not of their own. You know, I can't find it in scriptures that this had happened anywhere else, where tongues of fire came down and rested on people, and a loud rushing wind came when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, but it happened this time. But I do know that they spoke in tongues, and that's God's good purpose, because as we talked earlier, when he had appointed and chosen this time 10 days after Jesus' ascension for the Holy Spirit to come on these folks, there were a lot of foreigners in Jerusalem at the time, and they came running when they heard that rushing wind. And when they came to this place, finding this where this sound had stopped at, they saw those tongues of fire coming, and these people started proclaiming the goodness of God. And it didn't matter where they came from, they heard it in their own native language. You know, if you look back in Genesis, we're going to be studying about the Tower of Babel in Vacation Bible School. But we see the people who were, once again, all in one mind and accord, right? And they decided that they went against God's word, because God wanted them to scatter and inhabit the whole earth. But they decided to gather in the plain of Shinar. And then they decided that they were going to build walls in a city, and they were going to build a tower to the heavens, remember? And it says this in there. And I think this is what upset God the most. He says, "And then we will make a name for ourselves." And I just caught that. The purpose for God's wanting for us to scatter and inhabit the earth was that we might proclaim his goodness throughout the world. They settled in one spot, and it wasn't about proclaiming the name of the Lord anymore. It was about making a name for themselves. But now we see God reversing. When he confused their languages and they scattered, now we're seeing that even though he's confused their language, and there's languages all over, he's making a way for them to understand the wonders and the goodness of God, because he's allowing people to speak in other tongues, and they hear the gospel message too. God is bringing about a new thing from what he created at Babel. People in other tongues are now hearing the proclamation of the good news, the gospel message, in their own native language. And let me ask you something. If you were a visitor in biblical times on the day of Pentecost, and you were there from you were an Elamite, or you were from Mede or Cappadocia, and you heard this loud rushing wind, and you're thinking, "Where's this thing coming from? Where's it going?" And you finally go to the the origin or where the sound is, and you see all these guys in there, and all of a sudden tongues of fire are coming down on them, and all of a sudden you hear them proclaiming the goodness of God in your own native language, and you know that these people are not from Cappadocia or any other foreign nation. They're Galileans, what the word says. Getting hit himself. Okay, and it says, verse 5, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men Galilean? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language?'" And it goes down the list, verse 9 to 11. And it says in verse 12 that they were amazed and perplexed. And they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Well, if you were one of those there that had come a long way and traveled a long distance to observe this feast and this festival, and you had heard and you had seen what you just seen, and you heard them proclaiming the good news of Jesus in their own native tongue, don't you think that when they went back home that they didn't tell somebody what they had saw and experienced? God used this moment in time to further his kingdom, because he knew that there would be people there from all over the world to the ends of the earth, and that he could use these 120 disciples to spread the gospel message even further than they could even envision themselves. This was the birth of the New Testament church. This is how it started, with the Holy Spirit's fire and the breath of God in those folks. So many times we want to see a great move of God, but we want to leave the Holy Spirit out of it. We think we can do it in our own time, in our own hands. But I remember a song a few years ago. I used to play it in the jails, because sometimes they couldn't have a vision of what future might hold for them, because this was their existence in the jails. But it was a song by John Waller, and it was called "Something Big." And it says, "I want to do something so big that it's going to fail without you, Lord." Man, if we could have that vision and have that trust and say, "Okay, Holy Spirit power, come and help me envision a vacation Bible school where people from all different nationalities in our own community, around our own block, could come to know Jesus Christ. And through them, maybe their families would come to know Jesus." To have that kind of vision comes from one place, Mary Teresa. We've got to be bold, folks. I believe that our time is running out on this earth, and Jesus is coming soon. There's a lot of folks out there that need to hear this gospel message in our tongue, in their tongue. I don't care how they hear it. They just got to hear it. And he's going to use you to get it done. He wants to use you to get it done. You have that fire in you. You have that passion. Maybe it's just suppressed a little bit, but it's there. God gave it to you. He breathed it into you. Amen. That vision long ago of a pregnancy care center. I don't know if you all heard, but it was a blessing to my heart that Candace and Teresa and I don't know who, so was there others? Or just two nurses. But my mother's vision when she created the pregnancy care center was one day they would have an ultrasound machine where those unwed daughters of the Lord would come. I call them daughters of the Lord because that's what they are. God created them. But they could come and they could see that baby in them and know that it was life, not a blob. Well, God is working to see that happen, and I am just so blessed and just so thank God because I see that, because that was a vision long ago and God didn't bring it to fruition in my mother's life, but it's coming to fruition now. And it's a good thing, and I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness, too, in carrying on that vision. But the Holy Spirit's moving in us to do and act and reach people throughout this community, this county, this state, this nation, this world. Next Sunday, we're going to hear an account of people in Bulgaria moving towards the Lord. Amen? Is that what's going to happen next week? And actually, I think, Brother Ken, you told me, actually, next Sunday, July 9th or June 9th, will be the actual day of Pentecost, right? Is that right? So it's going to be a good time there. Amen? I'm excited. I wish I was going. Well, I am going to be here. Praise the Lord. I thought I was going to be gone. Thank you, Jesus. Because I know how excited Jeff was, and I'm excited already just waiting in anticipation. So we see God's moving in these early disciples. And it's not in just in him that he's moving. He's moving through those folks that are in attendance and watching what's going on. But as in everything, there's always going to be those naysayers, amen? Even when people, the religious leaders, saw the miraculous signs and wonders that Jesus was doing, they came against it and mocked it. Well, we see in verse 13, some, however, made fun of them, said they had too much wine. They're still there. Happened then, happens now. But I know this for a fact, that when Jesus spoke of Peter, when he asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And some said, you're a prophet, Elijah. But Peter boldly spoke up and he says, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus spoke to Peter and said, blessed are you, Peter, because this wasn't revealed to you by man, but by the Father. And from this day forth, your name will be Cephas, which means the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We see it already, people mocking and wanting to come against what God's doing in this new movement. But we have to remember, no matter what occurs, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that God has born. Nothing. When it looks really sad and really bad, and when we just don't know which way to turn, and there looks like there's no way that we're going to succeed, remember, the gates of hell won't prevail. We just got to stay steadfast, trusting in the Lord in all things. Then watch what he does. He's a good father. And one thing I've learned in my life, no matter how you try to fight, how you try to run, God's will is going to prevail. It always does. And it always will. Amen. That Holy Spirit fire, that burning passion to move and to do something, he's placed it in each and every one of us to believe, who believe, in order to be a witness wherever we're at of the goodness of the Lord and what he's done in our lives. That power's in you. I just pray that you would ask the Holy Spirit just to reveal to you where he wants you to use that power and whom he wants you to speak your witness to. Because that's what we're here for. You want to know what you're here for? That's to glorify God and to be his witnesses. That's that command that Jesus gave to his disciples about, stay here until the power comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses. That wasn't just for those 120 or so. That was for everyone who believes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come before you. And Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to come on us today. Father, that we might move, that we might be alive. We would burn with passion for your kingdom. That people might come to know you. That people come to live for you. That we will take this commission that you've given us seriously. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the book of Acts, that we might see how the early New Testament church was born and how they coped with different issues that came up and how they were bold in their proclamation of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God. Lord, as we prepare to take communion here today, we remember this great sacrifice that Jesus endured for our sake. He told us that when we take the cup and eat the bread, that we should do this in remembrance of him. Lord, I pray that as we partake of this bread and this juice, Lord, that it would empower us and strengthen us to do the work that you've called each and every one of us to do. Lord, we remember what you've done, and we do not receive your sacrifice in vain. We thank you, Father. We love you. And we ask that through us in your holy communion that you be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.